Tuesday, 10:45. Tony Bishop. Oh, God, am I ever going to get rid of him? How have I got myself into this mess? Okay, so, right. Today I'm going to tell him enough's enough. I'll do this morning session and that's it. Be firm, Martha. Firm and resolute. Tough on Tony and tough on the causes of Tony. Strong and stable. Although, no, maybe not that one.
Right, I'm just going to plunge straight in, OK? Because I've had one hell of a week.
OK, Tony, let me stop you there. Before we start, there are a few things we need to sort out.
Seriously, I don't know if I'm coming or going. So, right, Saturday morning, I wake up in the dry goods storage room of my new surf and turf restaurant.
Just stop for a moment. I'd like to talk
about... It's a sort of 70s themed thing. But obviously for people who've never experienced the actual 70s. People who, you know, like Formica and orange and brown kitchen tiles and avocado bathroom suites. No, I'm not joking. They're all the rage in Hoxton, according to my new mixologist, or barman, as we used to call him. Where was I? Oh, yeah, if you experience the actual reality of the 1970s, there's no reason whatsoever you'd want to relive that all over again, is there? Not even in an ironic way. Remember loons, for heaven's sake. And then there was the food. I got a slice of avocado pear... And I used to call them that, remember? Avocado pear. Anyway, I got a slice of said pear on my salad once in 1978. I mean, this was a massive thing in Stroud. It was crazier than Hector Blumenthal.
Heston.
No, that's a service station on the M1. Anyway, this bit of avocado was sitting there on a lettuce leaf, a bit waxy looking, and absolutely hard as a rock. I poked it, prodded it, held it up to the light, and I said to the girl I was with... What do you think that is then? And she said, is it a piece of soap? So I raised merry hell and asked for my money back. Cor Croy, how do I get on to this? Oh, yes, right, 70s. Surf and turf, restaurant, stock room, me waking up in the dry goods section.
Tony, before you go any further, there are a few things I'd like to discuss.
Hold on a minute. Who's paying for this, you or me? I think you'll find it's me. If you want to discuss your problems, get your own shrink. I mean, I know I'm a deep thinker with a profound respect for women and their endless baffling foibles, but I'm not personally a qualified psychotherapist. I can't help you, okay? So stop asking me. The whole thing's ridiculous. I turn up here to talk about the many vicissitudes, I think that's the word, of my life, and suddenly it's all about you. Honestly, women...
Tony!
No, don't interrupt me. It's rude. Did your mother never tell you that? Now, excuse me while I get my money's worth here.
There's something I need to tell you, Tony.
Look, I don't know how to say this in a non-hurtful way, but I don't fancy you, OK?
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
So, don't even start down that road, making those doe eyes at me, giving me your sly winks.
I think you'll find I did nothing of the sort, Tony.
I mean winks in a metaphorical sense. Crikey, people can wink at you without actually winking. It happens all the time.
Really?
Look, let's just say I know what your game is and we'll leave it at that, shall we?
No, we won't leave it at that.
Oh.
Tony, I think we need to unpack what you're actually talking about here.
Well, how should I know? You're the shrink. You tell me.
Tony!
Anyway, moving on. Where was I? Oh, right. So I woke up in the dry goods cupboard, absolutely baffled as to how I got there. And blow me if the door isn't locked from the outside. I've been locked in my own cupboard, in my own restaurant, by persons unknown, and I've got an absolutely splitting headache. So I bang on the door, shouting help and let me out, you... Well, I won't tell you what I called him. Anyway, do I get any response? No, I effing well do not. And there's not much to drink in a dry goods cupboard, is there? In fact, there's nothing. Nada. Niente. Not a bloody drop. I'm not kidding you. I could have died of thirst if I hadn't fallen asleep on a sack of onions, which, frankly, should never have been there in the first place. They should have been in the cold storage. I gave them hell about that afterwards. But anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, right, yeah, so I wake up about 2 hours later, still with a headache, but now plus a stiff neck and a really bad back. Because, let's face it, a sack of onions is a long way from a pocket spring mattress, isn't it? Anyway, I wake up to find the chef standing over me with a live lobster in each hand. He says, "Your wife's on the phone, Mr. Bishop." And I think, well, that's weird. I thought she was in Magaluf on a girly weekend.
I thought she'd left you.
Yeah, no, well, she has, but we're in the middle of a custody battle over the dog. I don't even like the dog, to be honest with you, but I'm damned if I'm letting her have it. She's got the slow cooker, the sandwich grill thing, the high-pressure hose. God knows what she'll do with that in a maisonette. And wait for it, this is what really got my goat. She also took all my socks. Every single pair. I phoned her up, this was before she changed her number, and said, "Chrissy, what the hell happened to my socks?" And she said, "Oh yeah, that was a mistake. Why don't you just buy some more?" But that's not the point, is it? Also, how can you take 40-odd pairs of socks by mistake? You can't. So, you know, I pretty much realised straight away that it was an act of deliberate provocation. At which point I decided, right, if that's the way you want to play it, have it your own way. It was gloves off, no more Mr. Nice Guy. You're not having that dog. No joint custody, no visiting rights, nothing. You can whistle for him. Which won't work anyway, because he's deaf. Well, it's more like selectively deaf, if you ask me. I mean, he can hear you opening a packet of biscuits from the other end of the house. Whereas if you say, "Get off the dining table," he just ignores you. I don't know, it could be the breed. He's one of them, you know, huge great things, size of a donkey, but bigger all round, shaggier, enormous head.
A St. Bernard?
No, bigger, like way bigger, twice the size.
Twice the size of a St. Bernard?
Well, I've no idea what a St. Bernard looks like, to be honest.
Well, put it this way, if your dog's twice the size, what you've probably got is a woolly mammoth.
Actually, I'm only joking. He's a Welsh terrier called Nobby. I was just messing about. I think I've lost my thread here. Oh, yeah, so by the time I get to the phone, Chrissy's hung up. Then I get a text from her saying a friend's just given her a Pomeranian puppy called Genghis so I can keep Nobby, no hard feelings. But the thing is, I don't want Nobby. I never did.
I'm beginning to feel a bit sorry for Nobby.
Well, he's all right as canines go, but is it normal for a dog to sleep on the dining table? No, it's not. Anyway, I mentioned my dilemma to one of my regulars, Brian. He runs a chain of dry cleaners, just got divorced from a woman who does dressage. But here's the thing, without a horse. I'll come back to that later. Anyway, Brian said, "Are you out of your mind? Don't even think of getting rid of poor old Bobby." I kept saying it's Nobby, by the way, but, you know, wasn't going in. Anyway, according to him, a dog is basically a babe magnet. He said, "You set off round the park with Bobby, and mark my words, within 10 minutes, every divorcee within a 5-mile radius will be offering to share a chai latte with you at the very least." Now, you're probably still worrying about how the hell I managed to wake up in the dry goods cupboard.
To be honest, Tony, I'd forgotten all about that particular aspect of the story.
You can't hold a bracket, that's your problem. Anyway, turns out the whole thing was nothing sinister. We'd had a bit of a do, I had one too many, so I had a bit of a lie down in the cupboard, as you do. Next thing, someone's locked the door, no idea I was in there. Obviously, when I come to write about it, I'll have to up the drama.
What do you mean, when you come to write about it?
Well, that's the other thing that's going on. I'm writing my memoirs.
Right.
I genuinely think there'll be a lot of interest in the story of an ordinary bloke, me. Well, not that ordinary. I'm exceptional in many ways. But, you know, an ordinary-ish bloke struggling to understand what the hell's going on. With women, mostly, but also masses of other 21st century things that are enrageous, like cycle lanes and people going on about mansplaining. Have you heard of that?
I have, yes.
What it is, right?
Yes, I know what it is.
Yeah, all right. Keep your hair on. Anyway, so I was going to call it My Struggle, but apparently some Norwegian beat me to it. Carl Nosegard or something. That can't be his real name, can it? On the other hand, why would you choose Nosegard, for heaven's sake? Anyway, it seems he stole it from Hitler, because My Struggle is actually the English translation of Mein Kampf. Who knew?
Most people.
It's funny, isn't it? Every single blessed thing I want to do, the Nazis got there first.
That might give you pause for thought, Tony.
First, I can't have Golden Dawn as the name of my political party, and now Hitler's stolen the title of my autobiography. I'm starting to detect a pattern.
Well, that's a start.
So, my working title, which just means literally the title I'm using for now until I come up with a better one, is Men, the Fight Back Starts Here, and this time it's serious. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it captures what I'm trying to do in a nutshell. It's going to be the story of every obstacle I've overcome in a long and illustrious career in the restaurant trade, from fine dining to many other sorts of dining, and also, why don't women have a sense of humour?
Can I ask you something, Tony?
Fire away.
How do you do dressage without a horse?
Sorry?
Well, you mentioned your friend's wife.
Oh, right! Brian's wife, Lavinia! I always think, what the hell do you call her for short? Lav? Anyway, yeah, she does horseless dressage. I'm serious, they canter round a ring on wooden hobby horses. It's Swedish or something. I've actually seen it, as God is my witness, it's demented. But you know, it's less dangerous than getting on an actual horse. And as I understand it, Lavinia's quite frightened of anything equine unless it's stuffed. And who can blame her? Horses are huge. I've no idea how they do the scoring, by the way, in horseless dressage, but they don't half look stupid. So there you are, another example of the utter weirdness of women. I mean, there were a couple of blokes doing it when I saw it, but I got the feeling they'd been bullied into it by their wives.
Why did you feel that, Tony?
Well, why else would they be doing it? Anyway, what's this got to do with anything? On top of everything else, I've been called up for jury service. I reckon they probably chose me because I'm a level-headed sort of person, you know, unbiased, no discernible prejudices. But how I'm going to fit it into my busy schedule, I've no idea.
Actually, jurors are randomly selected, Tony.
You're joking. How does that work, then?
I'm afraid that's all we've got time for this week.
Oh, seriously, how do you randomly select people of the required calibre?
I imagine it's all computerised now.
What, you're trying to tell me they just drag anyone in off the street?
I don't think that's quite how they do it, but your time is up, Tony.
But...
Goodbye, Tony.
Yeah, well, all right. I got Nobby outside in the cart. I thought I might take him for a bit of a walk. See if I get a result. I'll let you know if I do, OK?
Goodbye, Tony.
I'm a bit lonely, to be honest. Might be nice to have a bit of female company. I don't know. It's a conundrum, isn't it? Can't live with them, can't live with it.
We'll talk about that some other time.
Right. OK. Cheerio, then. Bye.